Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The baptism of Jesus is one of those parts of the story that I think even people who don't know much else about Jesus pretty much understand. Ask anyone who was baptized in the Jordan River, or who baptized Jesus, or what happened right after Jesus was baptized. And many folks will know the answers. It's like saying amen at the end of a prayer. Baptism is one of those parts of faith that has almost universal recognition. Most people know what you're talking about. And that's probably because of its connection to such a common, ordinary thing. Water. Many a pastor has helped confirmation students to understand baptism as a sacrament by repeating the lesson of commanded by Jesus, an earthly element, and a heavenly benefit. That's one way of defining the two sacraments that we as Lutherans at least ascribe to. Commanded by Jesus. Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, go and baptize. Go into all the world and baptize, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. An earthly element, the water itself, and a heavenly benefit, the promise of eternal life as a child of God. Extra credit for anyone who can tell me the corresponding references for Holy Communion. So baptism is recognizable. There's an ordinariness of sorts to it. For Christians, it's part of each of us as much as our belly buttons or the person we call mom. It's interesting, though, to think about this event described in each of the Gospels, but for us here today in Luke chapter 3, questions about what was happening that day on the banks of the Jordan River. Why did people think that John the Baptist was the Messiah? We get the part about John baptizing with water, but what is this baptism with the Holy Spirit of which he speaks? And what is baptism with fire? Why did people come out to be baptized in the first place? What did baptism mean for them? And why in the world does Jesus himself get baptized? So it's an event clouded in some mystery. What actually happened? Who was there? Why? We live in a world that doesn't like uncertainty, right? Truth and facts are the hallmark of today's ideal society. On-the-scene reporters and photographic evidence are what make stories real in our lives. Seeing is believing, and you'll need to get that notarized. I'd been a pastor for only a couple of years when one of the ladies in my congregation, Barbara, called me up and said that she needed to talk to me about something important. She related to me how, while going through her mom's documents and papers following her death, she was confronted with a question. Was I really baptized? Apparently, she expected to find some evidence of the action having taken place long ago when Barbara was an infant. She said that growing up, she was always told that she had been baptized. The family attended church, and she counted herself among the others of her faith who trusted in this promise conveyed to them by trusted family members. But aside from that word of assurance from her family, Barbara also had in her mind that a piece of paper, an official document, existed in her mother's possession. And now that crucial verification of truth was not to be found. Barbara was beside herself because she didn't want to doubt the truth of her parents' claims. But to risk the possibility of arriving at the end of her own life without that seal of approval seemed somewhat like stepping out of the airplane without a parachute. She wondered with me, her young, naive, unexperienced pastor, should she get baptized again? Just to be sure? So I asked Barbara if she trusted her parents, both now gone. She said yes. Did your parents teach you about God's love and grace, about forgiveness, and about Jesus' death and resurrection? Yes, she said, without any hesitation or doubt. And Barbara, have you always lived your life trusting that God's gift of new life is yours, no matter what you do? Barbara said yes. I said, Barbara, you have something infinitely more valuable than a piece of paper. You have the word and promise of God witnessed through the faith of your parents. And every brother and sister in Christ who has shared this journey with you. You have the same assurance all of us who trust in the promise of baptism have, especially those of us who were baptized as infants before we can remember, before we even had a say in the matter. Barbara is like every one of us who is baptized. Even if we remember the water flowing over our head and down our back and through our shirts and clothes, and we know it best because of what other people say about it. That the word of another is to be trusted as sure and binding is something that we would like to believe is still sacred, but is often questioned. Fear and suspicion, arrogance and prejudice erect walls around our better nature and isolate us within a prison of self-doubt. We end up calling into question even the most precious promises, those of hope and love. Barbara decided that the words of her parents and family were strong enough to hold the truth of something that didn't have photographic evidence or a signed piece of paper, only the truth of a promise. You belong. You matter. You are chosen. It says that when Jesus had been baptized and was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and a voice from heaven spoke, "You are my child," the voice said. That's the voice all of us long to hear. It's the message that doesn't need a piece of paper or a pastor's signature. It's the voice of creation that brings light to our world every moment. It's the voice of strength that, as the psalm declares, breaks the cedar trees. But it's also the voice of a mother who holds her child close in tender arms of love and whispers even from beyond the grave, "Trust me, my beloved child. We are, all of us, children of God's promise." So there are many questions that we could ask about how and why Jesus was baptized. There are sufficient reasons to wonder how in the world does this simple, ordinary water convey the grace of God? And we can question what it all means in our lives in the end. But the word of truth, spoken by God, but repeated endlessly by the faithful as we muddle through the questions and changes of this world. The word of truth is the only thing that really matters. And today that word is spoken again. You are my child. You are loved. With you I am well pleased. Amen.